This morning, I'll confess my frailties, fallenness, made a mistake in the bulletin. That is last week's scripture reading. This morning would invite you to turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16. That's on page 58 of the Pew Bibles. Exodus 16, and begin reading with verse 13. And reading through the 26th verse. So Exodus 16, beginning with verse 13, that's on page 58 of our Pew Bibles. And picking up the account here where God is providing that manna, that bread for his children. But hear God's word. Exodus 16, verse 13. This is the word of God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" That's the word manna, you know, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. And Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will find it in the field. You will not find it in the field. For 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none." Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who graciously provides for all of our needs. Lord, thank you that you care for our temporal needs, needs of living here on earth. Thank you, you care for our eternal needs as well. Need for forgiveness of sins, need for salvation in Christ. Lord, pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts and our lives, stirring us, keeping us alert, awake, attentive, teachable. And Father, we pray that we would be growing in our longing for prayer, and making our requests known unto you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've ever read the novel or seen the movie Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens, you'll probably remember the plucky plea by a poor and starving orphan. Probably the most memorable line where Oliver Twist says, "You know, please, sir, I want some more porridge." This young boy is a resident in the parish workhouse where boys are quote, issued 3 meals of thin gruel a day with an onion twice a week and half a roll on Sundays. A workhouse is run by Bumble the Beetle. Since all the hungry boys are gripped with hunger pains, this young boy courageously steps forward to make this bold request. But rather than getting more porridge, this young boy is cast out of the wretched workhouse, becomes an apprentice of an undertaker, and one of the reoccurring themes is Oliver seeking to satisfy his daily hunger. You know, this morning we're studying the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. You know, give us this day our daily bread. The prayer begins by reminding us that we have a loving Father, Heavenly Father, who loves us in Christ. Those first three petitions that we've already looked at deal with a glorious praise of God. But now we're beginning the next section, what is sometimes called the second table of the Lord's Prayer. Moving from glorious praise now to gracious pleas of our Heavenly Father. There's a change in pronouns here. Moving from your now to us and to our. It's personal, it's corporate. And here this morning we'll see that we are to pray that we would rely on the Lord to provide our daily bread. Jesus here, remember, gives us a pattern for prayer. Prayer that first focuses on the glory of God, then prayer that pleads for his grace. And this morning, the truth is this from God's word, that in prayer we daily pray for God's gracious provision of every need. Well, why should we plead for God's gracious provision? We'll see that there is a sufficient provision for all of our needs, and there is a sure provision for our needs. But finally, there is a spiritual provision. Beginning with that truth, and here invite you, encourage you to turn back to Matthew 6, looking at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 there, verse 11, where Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Here we see God's sufficient provision. In prayer, we express our utter dependence upon God. Even for bread, even for food, the one translation of this passage, the Message, puts it this way, keep us alive with 3 square meals. And as you read through Scripture, you can see that God does indeed graciously provide for his children. Providing food. There in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, we read this, Genesis 1, verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. You know, even before the fall, God reminded Adam and Eve that he would provide food for them. And as you follow that through Scripture, that passage we read from Exodus 16, God provided manna for his children in the wilderness. God directed even the ravens to bring meat and bread to the prophet Elijah during the drought. God even feeds the ravens. And there's a glorious gospel account that after the resurrection, the disciples are out fishing, and there is Jesus on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. He is preparing a simple meal of fish and bread over a charcoal fire for his hungry disciples. You know, our God, our good and great God, does indeed graciously provide food for his hungry children, and we ought never to take that for granted. So when we pray this petition, we're humbly praying and asking the Lord, Lord, provide the basics of life. You know, provide bread, daily bread. You know, we're asking our loving Heavenly Father, who delights to hear our prayers, to answer our prayers, to provide that which we need for our existence. You know, but it's not only bread, it's all of the necessities of life. Martin Luther put it this way: bread is a real symbol for everything that is necessary for the preservation of this life. Food, a healthy body, good weather, a home, a wife, children, good government, peace. You know, when we pray this prayer, we're praying the same prayer that a saint prayed back in Proverbs chapter 30. This is the words of Augur, Proverbs 30, verse 7 and following. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Almost the same truth there. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You know, Lord, give me this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, it's a public appeal. It's something we pray together. You know, give us our daily bread. You know, it's tough to translate the original here of Matthew 6:11, but one possibility would be something like this: our bread for this day, you give us today. You can see that emphasis on the word us. Our bread, give us this day, Lord. It's a community prayer by the Church of Christ. You know, sometimes we're asked, why do we say the Lord's Prayer together on Sundays? Because the Lord meant for it to be a corporate prayer, something we pray together. Yes, you can pray it individually. Yes, you can pray it at home in family worship. You know, but I believe the Lord is teaching us a deep gospel truth here, that there is power. The Holy Spirit is working in a special way as we are praying this together. This petition guards our hearts against selfish prayer requests. It's not, Lord, give me my bread and give it to me now. It's, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And as we pray this, we're praying not only that the Lord would provide bread, you know, for the immediate group that's praying this, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Lord, provide bread, provide the basic necessities of life to your children in every continent, in every country. We're praying that Christians in Albania and Belize, Croatia, those are just the ABCs, that they might know God's gracious provision of bread. You know, we pray this knowing that God can indeed graciously provide sufficient provisions. You know, think of how Christ fed the 5,000 and as well the 4,000, taking those with the 5,000, the 5 loaves, 2 fish, blessing them, giving thanks for them, breaking them. He gave them to his disciples, who in turn gave them, served them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, Scripture tells us, even enough for leftovers. Now, J.C. Ryle puts it this way: here we publicly confess that we are poor, weak, wanting creatures, and beseech him who is our maker to take care of us. Now, we are thanking God for his sufficient provision. We're acknowledging our total dependence upon the Lord. And as well, giving thanks to the Lord, knowing that he will give us this day our daily bread. When our children were young, your children are probably different, grandchildren, but they got tired of hearing Dad pray, and so quite often at meal times, usually supper time, we would sing some special songs, actually, that I had learned as a child at Christian summer camp. And one of those songs that we sang, you know, and I have it on my to-do list to type these up. I can show these to parents, grandparents. I won't try to sing them, but you can probably YouTube examples. But one of the hymns that we sang was simply this: 'Tis the promise of the Father, lions young may suffer need, but his children who will seek him, he himself shall ever feed. Thank thee, Savior, for this bounty, sweet provision from above. Gratefully we now receive it, token of thine endless love. You know, as we humbly plead for God's provision, sufficient provision, you know, let us swiftly offer to him that sacrifice of praise. God's sufficient provision, God's sure provision, is the second thing that is being taught here. We're not only dependent upon the Lord, but it's a daily plea of prayer. Again, using the shorter catechism, it's there on the back of our bulletin, number 104. What do we pray for in the fourth petition? That's where we're at in the Lord's Prayer. And the answer is this: in the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. Well, let's take a few faith-deepening examples, take a look at a few faith-deepening examples of God's sure provision for his people. Already read that passage from Exodus 16. We could call it God's wilderness provisions. As you read that account in Exodus, you'll see that God has graciously delivered his people from bondage in Egypt, parted the Red Sea. They crossed safely over. Their strong foes were defeated. Moses sings a song of thanks, and the Lord is going to sufficiently provide water and food for his redeemed children for 40 years. You know, God graciously provided a competent portion. You know, what's a competent portion? God provides just what we need for each day. You know, but God gave them guidelines for receiving this sure provision. You know, there in Exodus 16, you know, to highlight a few of these. First, they were to go out each day in the morning and gather a day's portion for every day, except on the sixth day when they were to gather twice as much. Secondly, they were to gather just what the family needed for that day. An omer, two liters, 2 quarts of food. And the principle is this: don't be greedy as you gather. You know, in fact, if they gathered too much, what happened to it? It rotted, it stank, worms. That'll teach you not to take too much. And third, there was to be no gathering on the Lord's day. You know, it's not that God wanted them to be deprived on the Lord's day, but he provided twice as much the day before. so that on the Lord's Day they could rest and worship him. You know, and God did that for 40 years. We read this, Exodus 16, verse 35. The people of Israel ate the manna for 40 years till they came to an habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. You know, our God surely provides for our material, our emotional, our spiritual needs. You know, that's one thing the Lord is teaching us as we pray every day, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And God is delighted to answer that prayer. You know, but even as we pray this for God's sure provision, you know, why does God give us this prayer petition? It's to guard our hearts against worry. Now, I know here no one worries, but if you know someone who worries, you can guide them to this portion of Scripture. You know, we need not worry about food or famine, unexpected or uncertain harvests. You know, God's going to take care of all of our needs. You know, our personal needs, family needs, needs in our walk of faith. You know, think about worry for a minute. You know, why is worry so debilitating to our faith in Christ? It causes us to despair in our present circumstances. We turn inward. You know, it can paralyze our spiritual growth. You know, that's all we think about. Wake up in the morning worrying, noontime worrying, go to bed worrying. You know, we're not thinking about worshiping the Lord. We're just worrying. You know, signs of worry. You know, if you're wondering, well, am I a worrier? Well, you know, a couple signs. You know, we grumble. You know, God, you can't provide. God, you're not big enough. God, you really don't care about my needs. We complain. There is no joy in our walk of faith with Christ when we're worrying. And what's the believer's antidote to worry? It's prayer. John Calvin put it this way. You know, we tend to think of him as a pretty somber man, but this is what he writes. Just one sentence. Prayer is one of the best means of happiness and contentment. Prayer is one of the best means of happiness and contentment. If you're worrying, if I'm worrying, pray. Now, Lord, you're going to provide for my needs. I can't add a day to my life, an inch to my height by worrying. You know, in the Lord's Prayer too, we're asking to be content. You know, if you were to ask me, well, what's the opposite of worrying? It's contentment. Contentment in Christ. You know, content that God's going to give me exactly what I need when I need it in just the right amount. You know, we're not praying here to win the next Powerball lottery. I thank the Lord no one here in Louisiana won it. Then we'd all be wondering who won it and what they were going to do with it. But, you know, we're praying here, Lord, make me content in Christ. Lord, give me, as one of our Puritan forefathers put it, Lord, give me that rare jewel of Christian contentment. You know, the Lord hears our cries. You know, Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, wrote in a journal, and this is what he wrote one day, writing about, you know, God's sure provision for his children. And I quote, these are Hudson Taylor's words, "I am taking my children with me, and I notice that it is not difficult for me to remember that the little ones need breakfast in the morning, dinner at midday, and something before they go to bed at night. Indeed, I could not forget it. And I find it impossible to suppose that our Heavenly Father is less tender or mindful than I. I do not believe that our Heavenly Father will ever forget his children. I am a very poor father, but it is not my habit to forget my children. God is a very, very good father. It is not his habit to forget his children. You know, that's what we remember, you know, as we pray. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You're a good, a very good Heavenly Father who loves me in Christ. Now, just a few quick truths here, applications, lest we twist this verse. You know, even as we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, it's the Bible still calls us to work. In fact, Scripture is plain, he who shall not work shall not eat. You know, God still calls us to work. Work in the home, work outside of the home, to be actively laboring. You know, he gives us education, skills, opportunities to use our gifts and abilities, to provide an income, to care for ourselves and those around us. You know, but finally here, praying for God's sure provision guards against worry, guards against pride, guards against materialism, covetousness. You know, our Heavenly Father provides for our needs. You know, so we see God's sufficient provision, God's sure provision, finally a scriptural provision. You know, and a little bit shorter, but just in these last minutes, you know, there's an implied problem of sin here in this verse. You know, again, going back to Genesis, you remember after Adam and Eve's fall into sin there in the Garden of Eden, you know, what was part of God's curse upon Adam? You know, hear this, Genesis, cursed is the ground because of you, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat your bread. You know, so even as we pray this prayer, we're acknowledging we live in a sin-fallen world. You know, that we can't provide for all of our needs. That here we need God's gracious provision. You know, that's why we read in the Psalm 132:15, our responsive reading. Hear this verse again. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy. I love that word. I will satisfy her poor with bread. You know, every time we pray this prayer, we are acknowledging, Lord, you're the only one who can satisfy my needs. And God, here we remember as well, God's provision of a Savior. It's no mistake. In fact, it was God's intentional purpose, you know, for Jesus to proclaim, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In fact, it's such an important truth there in John chapter 6 that Jesus says it three times, three different ways, but basically saying again and again, I am the bread of life. And he concludes in verse 51 by saying, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. You know, here Jesus is calling us to a life of faith in Christ. Yes, God will graciously provide for our temporal needs, the needs of this life. But better yet, He will provide for us. He will give to us eternal life through faith in Christ. One quote and a couple quick applications here. Jim Boyce puts it this way. What does it mean to feed spiritually on the Lord Jesus Christ? It means quite simply that he is the source of all spiritual life, and we will grow spiritually only as we draw close to him and learn about him. Moreover, unless we do this, we inevitably will be starved spiritually and feel spiritually hungry. As we pray this prayer, it's God's design that we delight in the gospel certainty that Jesus Christ saved us. Jesus Christ strengthens us. Jesus Christ satisfies our deepest longings. He meets our greatest need, and that greatest need is a need for salvation in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you do provide for all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, we thank you especially for your provision of a Savior, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, that as we feed on faith in Christ, Lord, we know that only Jesus Christ can give us true life, life eternal. And so, Lord God, we pray that we would rejoice in your gracious provision, but always remembering, Father, your great gift of Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.